Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, illuminate these words by your Spirit, that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would have us be. For the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. The Old Testament reading for today comes to us from Jeremiah 31, verses 27 through 34. Listen to the Word of God. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of the one who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's epistle lesson is from 2 Timothy. While probably not actually written by Paul, it is framed as a last letter from Paul to his dear follower Timothy, advising how to live and carry on the faith, in the face of opposing false prophets who are competing for this new Christian church. So let's listen to the living word from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to chapter 4, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have known sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober in everything, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Surround us with your Spirit, and speak to us your holy word this day. Amen. Bom dia. Hola. Buenos dias. Beginning each day with joyful greetings at a buffet of cheeses and breads and pastries, and then again on a bus full of friends from MPC who toured Portugal was truly a treat. I was surprised this trip by how my brain eagerly sought those other languages. Sorry, Rebecca. And I even found myself doing the numbers of Sudoku in Portuguese on the airplane home. My sleepy brain was still struggling with it. I may sound like a kindergartner with my broken words and no properly conjugated verbs when I venture out of my native English, but the attempts at communication always seem to be universally appreciated. Words have power. It's hard for even the most grumpy tour guide or weary traveler to stay grouchy when greeted with "Hola!" Good day. Watching the magic of compliments mimed conversations between strangers who supposedly had no common tongue, it brings today's lesson into sharper focus. With an AI translator on my phone in my pocket, a tour guide to help us out, and many, many, many willing hosts, it was still sometimes hard work to communicate with each other. How do the holy words from our scripture conquer not only those same language difficulties, but years in between and errors of human transcription? Our translation says all of this is inspired by God. I kind of like the NIV translation better. It says all scripture is God-breathed. That sounds so much nicer. Even then, humans doing our best can sometimes misunderstand. In a women's circle I was participating in once, I was shocked to hear a longtime friend come in all excited about a brand new diet that she had discovered. "Did you know," she said, "God told us exactly what we should eat. If only we hadn't drifted and disobeyed," she continued, "we wouldn't be fat." Unfortunately, my poker face is really bad. As I tried to hold back my laughter, I told her that kosher diet is not a new thing at all. And our Jewish brothers and sisters followed it for years and years and years, and they too sometimes still needed to go on a diet. Thankfully, she's still a friend despite my lack of tact. The argument about what to take literally and what to interpret in the Bible has been a source of arguments, and it rages on even to this day. There are 613 commandments in Jewish law, of which we remember most of the time the Ten Commandments. And that is hard enough. I heard about a guy who tried to live for an entire year following every law in the Bible. Some of the things we would expect, like, oh, I can't have shellfish, that doesn't seem that strange. But then he had to do some bizarre things. His clothes could only be made of one type of material, one fabric. He couldn't shave the sides of his face. He could do no work or energy or effort on a Saturday, including turning on light switches. If he had made a loan, he could not charge interest. And he was not to set aside any savings for his future in that year. I've heard people say, "Well, that's impossible. That's just Leviticus. We don't do that anymore." Adam Hamilton, when challenged with literalism in Scripture, points us to the reading from Deuteronomy 23. Listen to what it says. "Designate a place outside the camp," and for them, camps would have been their homes. "Designate a place outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. As part of your equipment, have something to dig with when you relieve yourself. Dig a hole and cover over the excrement. For the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Your camp must be holy so that he will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Never again will you ever ask me a question why the lectionary leaves some stuff out. Pulled out of context and without interpretation, God's holy word can indeed sink to the level of, well, excrement. Indeed, how are we to understand 200 verses that would have endorsed slavery? Women should be stoned for adultery and children for sassing their parents. Well, we don't have to take that as seriously now because it's the Old Testament, right? Not so fast. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, he has not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. 5:18 says, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until it is all accomplished. So these words are still important. So much so that John speaks of Jesus as in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was Jesus. But how are these words important? We must sit with them and study them and interpret and talk about it. What do we do with harmful and contradictory words that fill our holy text? And all of this is if we agree on what those words even say. In Paul's time, the scripture or the holy writings would have been the Old Testament. Maybe some of his letters were starting to be incorporated as their holy scripture, and maybe the Gospel of Mark and some others were started. They were written in Hebrew, or maybe Aramaic, and then they were translated into Greek so the people could understand them. They didn't have paper and computers, so picture the paper that you wrote on as a child, and your erasers sometimes ripped through the paper because you just couldn't get that mark just right. Or if anybody has had the unfortunate experience of trying to read my handwriting, think of the handwriting of all these people. And then you age that for hundreds and hundreds of years. Scripture is God's holy word, but it is preserved through human means and interpreted by human writers. Unlike our Muslim brothers and sisters, we do not believe that God dictated our scriptures. Given all of that, we can firmly argue that the literalism of scripture was not what this letter Paul was sending was all about. So what is the point? What is he trying to tell Timothy? What are we supposed to follow and write on our hearts like Jeremiah demanded? What powerful message do we carry when we travel out beyond these walls? God breathed scripture. It fits well with Jeremiah saying to write it on your heart. And one of the most powerful moments as we ventured beyond these walls on our Portugal trip was not singing in the wonderful, beautiful, huge cathedral or in the university. Oh, those were great, sorry. They were wonderful, I promise. The pinnacle for me, rather, was when we sang at the senior home and with the little students. Our audience spoke not a lick of English, but they were overjoyed to hear the music that we made. And after we sang and rang, they were overjoyed. We had jazz hands, we had applause, smiles, waves at us. And one of the women carefully made her way over to me on her walker. And she started to touch my face and my hair and rapid-fire Portuguese. And I'm like, smile, Laura, just smile. Because I don't know what she's saying. I knew she was happy, but the translation was a struggle. So our tour guide came over and she translated. The woman was saying, I am 92 years old. You're all angels brought to us to sing to us here today. Your music was beautiful. And I am so thankful that if I'm not here next time you come, I thank God that I lived for this today. And I got to hear you. So God bless you. That was worth it. Smiles from young children holding up our only common language, they gave us heart hands from the audience. That's a universal language. Happy waves spoke loud and clear, and unified people in this special place dedicated to God brought together the Word God breathed for sure. We don't have to rely on these written words of Scripture to be perfectly preserved, perfectly written, for them to still have profound value and be the sola scriptura that we follow. The Holy Spirit in and through us will empower us to hear, interpret, and follow the living Word. The text that can somehow say something completely different every time you hear it touches our hearts differently every time. Sometimes it's very comforting, and others it nudges us, and sometimes it is flat out a challenge and a charge for how we are to go out and be Christ's body in the world. Christ's living word came to us in the flesh to help us flesh out these texts, to show us what God was saying and what God wanted us to do. We're definitely at a time when they called it tickling in our translation, but it's more itchy ears. And itchy ears today, for sure, hear what they want. And they go find teachers to suit their own preconceived desires. Yet the Holy Spirit walks with us for the work to be done. These words from Timothy are somewhat of an anti-prosperity gospel. Following Christ is much less about our own comfort and happiness and more about holding to the teachings of Christ and our faith in the face of discomfort, in the face of disbelief, and in the face of ridicule from society. A society that might think that we're just idiots for holding on to this Christianity. We've got science, we've got reason. What are they looking at that book for? How can you believe that collection of stories that contradict, they drift, and they're so outdated to our modern society, people may ask. The Bible, it is a collection of stories, poetry, song, tragedy, satire, humor, instruction, law, and good news. It's been pulled apart, it's been mishandled, and it's been abused, but it's still there and it is living. The Spirit breathed it for us. It has stories of disciples who bumble through, prophets who run away from God, going the opposite direction they're intended to go, and people who make mistakes again and again. Yet, as the Reverend Dr. James Howell says, yes, this is all the scripture that is inspired. Messy, human, broken, miserably lacking in potential, and lackluster in performance. Why would God use this book? Because God wanted the book to make sense to people like us. Christ so wanted relationship with each of us that when we turned away and ignored the words of the prophets like Jeremiah, the word came to us. God's law could be written on our hearts and throughout our souls. It doesn't have to be in sometimes what we have in Bibles where Christ's words are all in red. It doesn't have to be that special writing for us to begin the Spirit work in and through us and to breathe that back out into the world. As J.K. Rowling's character Albus Dumbledore says, words are, in my not so humble opinion, our most inexhaustible resource of magic, capable of both inflicting injury and remedying it. When words hurt or are misused, even scriptural ones, especially scriptural ones, the best rule of thumb is the rule of love. It's a rule that was given to us by Jesus when he was asked what the greatest law was. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Even if you think God said it, if it's not loving, then it's not of Christ. If it robs one person of their respect and their integrity, then it's not of Christ. If it silences somebody else to bring comfort and happiness at the expense of anyone, it is not of Christ. God uses even us to reach out to the whole world. God uses our mistakes and our muddling attempts and then charges us to use our all for the hard work of spreading hope and good news. So keep the faith in the trenches, even those trenches. Can we say things like that in church? What did you say? God uses our words, the word Jesus Christ, to pull in our humanness just as we are and move us and nudge us to being more the kingdom on earth. God speaks in and through us and our every single gift, all that the church can give, all we take in and send back out to the world, Are you all in? What can we feed the children of the world so they're not nourished, but they also know they're cherished and they know that God loves them? It requires your every sense, your work, to speak love. Together, MPC can speak this language. We speak it to all ages and to all people. One of the children on that last tour stop at that special place with the little kids and the older seniors pulled our tour guide aside and started asking, "Where's the candy?" Manassas evidently is very close to the Portuguese word for sweets. Little did we know. So what can we give back to the world? As we dedicate our gifts and remember our baptisms today, what kind of treat from Christ can we give out to the world? A candy factory extraordinaire. Eugene Patterson wrote a commentary called Eat This Book, and it tells you how to study Bible. He says it's like a special diet with all of our senses. It's every aspect of your life. One bite to digest something more difficult, some bitter, some sweet. This should be the diet that we work at. A gourmet feast we share with a very hungry world. Hola, greet the world in love. Hold out Christ's music to every soul. Lift your hands and hearts to one another. Smile at a stranger and a friend. Jesus comes into our whole lives, with words being one entrance, even if it takes getting into the word on our level. Christ in flesh came into our muck with us. A little poop humor, some brokenness, music, and a heavy dose of miraculous magic. Graças a Deus. Amen.